Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thanks very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. My pleasure as always. We're glad you're here. You're going to be glad you hung out with us because we got somebody joining us right now from Australia. Justin Rolf Marsh is with us, ladies and gentlemen. He's a new friend. He's the founder and CEO of a company called Ballistic. And out of Brisbane, Australia, also doing business here in the United States. And he's going to be joining us to, he's going to join us and talk to us about some things that, might turn some things that you're doing up on upside down. And he might ask you to, you know, to think about some things totally different from the way you've been thinking about them before. Let's see what he has to say. Justin Rolf Marsh, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for having me, Jim.
It's good to have you here. Give us a little bit of a report on how things are going in Australia right these days.
Well, you know what? I don't spend a lot of time in Australia. I spend most of my time in the U.S., but from the little time that I spend here, I would say that there's not a lot of difference. My guess is that the economy is not going to bounce quite as hard in Australia as it maybe is in the U.S., but the sentiment's not dissimilar.
So you're saying that you guys are not going to you're probably not going to be as tough down there as we're having it here. The recession and is your country officially in a recession?
I think it is. I think it is. Like I said, I don't spend a lot of time here, and I probably follow the U.S. market more than
right.
I do Australia. In fact, we're doing more business out of the U.S. than we do out of Australia.
What is the unemployment rate in Australia right now?
You got me there.
Okay.
Just don't know.
Okay. Well, one of the things want to talk about today, Justin, is this theory of constraints that a lot of people, I think most people have not heard much about it. And it goes all the way back to the quality process. Now, we've talked about dimming on the show quite a bit. We've covered the quality process over the years quite a bit. The what I call the difference between quality service and the quality process. A lot of people get those things. But your whole approach to the marketplace is quite a bit different from the conventional method, and I'd like for you to talk to us about that.
Yeah, so I guess philosophically we come out of a space called theory of constraints, which is people know the theory of constraints because certainly in the U.S. most people at some point in their careers have read a book called The Goal. But our expertise is the sales function, or as it's commonly called, the sales. So what we do is apply process engineering principles to the sales process. So we build these sales processes that look like a shop floor in a environment. And the essential difference between the sales processes we build and a typical sales process is division of labor. And of course, if you that's the key to the improvements we've seen in production in the last 100 years or so. So we build these sales processes where people spend all their time in the field selling, appointment after appointment after appointment, and everything else is centralized, performed by specialists. So in essence, that's what we do, and it's probably pre-quality in that the discussion about quality, which, as your listeners probably know, is about the reduction in variability, doesn't actually become relevant until you have a formal process, and a formal process implies division of labor, and in most sales functions, there's no such thing as division of labor.
What you're saying is you have the people who are good at selling, who are good at dealing, working with a customer, meeting the customer, and closing the business. You don't have them doing things that they shouldn't be doing. Is that what you're saying?
Well, exactly. The interesting thing is that a lot of people complain to me about conflict that they have in their organizations between sales and the other departments. You know, more conflict there than there is elsewhere.
Right.
And the reason for it is because people spend 90% of their time doing other people's jobs. And if you think about it, there's only one activity in the organization that no one else actually wants to do, and that's driving around in a company car, making calls on potential customers, negotiating transactions with them. But interestingly, that's the one activity that salespeople don't get to do either, because they spend 90% of their time literally engaged in other activities.
Well, and I'll tell you, salespeople will love your method, because the best salespeople are the worst detail paperwork people.
Sure.
And what I found in my career is the best prospectors are not necessarily the best closers, and the best closers are not necessarily the best prospectors.
Absolutely. So salespeople love that bit of our message. They love the idea that we're going to build this environment where they spend all of their time customers, and they don't have to get involved in solution design or estimating or any of the other, or customer service or any of the other stuff.
Right.
The tougher part for them, though, is that, and this is a bit of a dilemma, I guess, philosophically, you know, to achieve that, the key is division of labor.
Explain for my audience now. My audience has heard me talk about division of labor through the eyes of. So, but tell us how you define division of labor.
Well, division of labor really means the elimination of multitasking. So, division of labor means that you employ a specialist to perform a specialized task. So, instead of performing a broad diversity of tasks that are dissimilar in nature, which erodes significantly the effectiveness of a person, if we were to use a if you were to be using a computer and switching from one application to another, each time you switch from one application to another, the computer's got to unload the cache and then reload it. And
right.
Human beings are the same. You know, we switch from one activity to another quite dissimilar activity. There's a fair bit of ramp down and ramp up time involved, and it erodes mm-hmm. significantly our productivity. And there's a whole bunch of other negative effects as well.
So see, when I hear you talking about these things, it may seem strange for me to say this, but I think about our teachers today. Our teachers say they've become more administrators than teachers. They spend so much time on administrative things that they don't have time to teach. And I think we have the same thing happens to a lot of our specialists, like people and other people who are having to do these multitasking things. Hang on to that thought, Justin. We're going to take a quick break, folks. And we're going to get Justin to tell us more about this theory of constraints and a way of making sure that your people are the most productive. Justin Roth Marsh is our guest. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Well, I'm your fetus. I'm your fire at your
back. It's 23. Thank you very much for staying with me. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Hope you'll check it out when you get a chance. Use it to your advantage. We'll get you some good stuff there from things you can listen to, things you can read, anywhere from 5 seconds to 15 minutes. We got something for you, regardless of your challenge or your opportunity. We got things that will help you, and it's all free. No barriers to entry at all. Check out my newsletter. You can see it there and subscribe to it. It's free, too. We'll send it to you by email on Sunday afternoon, get you ready for the week ahead. My blog is there. My knowledge base, askjim.biz, is there. And the Small Business Minute, Motivational Minute, Write This on a Rock, lots and lots of different things there. And more to come. We've got more new stuff we're working on. Justin Roth, folks, that's a hyphenated name, Roth Marsh, is with us, and he's currently in Australia, about to spend more time in the United States. His company is called Ballistics, next on the end. He's the founder and CEO, and it's a management firm that helps people change the way that they approach the sales process. Would that be a fair way to say it, Justin?
That's correct.
Yeah, and so currently, most salespeople have a number of things that they have to do that maybe they're involved in the they get a budget from their company and they're required to customer service, they're required to to prospect and manage their prospects and prepare proposals and demonstrations and do all of the things that I used to do back when I was with Xerox. I used to do all those things. Nobody, I really didn't have much support.
Owns the entire customer interface, which, if you think about it, actually transcends the sales process. In most firms, the salespeople operate well outside the sales process. Everything that involves the customer.
But you're saying you're adding more layers to the process, aren't you?
Well, we're adding more people to the process. So in most organizations, we'll reduce the number of salespeople, but we'll increase the size of the sales team. So we'll have fewer sales. But the salespeople that we have will spend all of their time in the field, face-to-face with potential customers, involved exclusively in business development. Not account management, technical tasks, not customer service, just all of their time engaged in business development. And then
Do they ever go back and call on the customer again? Do they ever work with the customer once they've brought them on board?
Well, interestingly, Jim, there's never any shortage of reasons to go. There's never any shortage of business development to existing customers.
Right.
I mean, how many of your listeners' customers actually buy 100% of their service lines?
Right. No, that's right.
I suspect not many. So I'm all in favor of salespeople revisiting existing customers. It's just I want them to be revisiting to sell new service lines, not to drink coffee and talk about delivery problems.
Now, one of the things that some people might be thinking about your process is it sounds like it might create more payroll. Is that correct?
No, generally speaking, we will increase headcount, and payroll will stay the same, if not go down.
But you're probably also
have too many. I'm sorry.
You're probably also saying that if payroll goes up, that the increased efficiency and productivity will more than pay for that.
Yeah, we never. It would be extremely rare that we would cause payroll to go up. In most cases, payroll will go down.
Well, the other thing is. With salespeople, you've got leveraged compensation plans, meaning that they make a lot more money if they sell more. If you got fewer salespeople, you got less leveraged compensation plans.
Well, leveraged compensation plans is an elegant term for what in manufacturing we would call piece rate pay. And
that's
the things we get rid of. Because if you think about
it... No commissions?
We get rid of commissions. If you think about it, you haven't seen piece rate pay for the last 50 to 80 years.
Yeah.
And we got rid of the modern economy. We got rid of piece rate pay in manufacturing for damn good reasons, and that's because it destroys teamwork. So if we want to build a team-based approach to selling, we have to get rid of piece rate pay. In other words, commissions. We have no choice.
How do you motivate the salespeople to work a little harder? I mean, that's motivated salespeople is through compensation.
Well, why would we assume that they're not motivated to start with?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I guess that's my old paradigm showing through here, Justin.
So here's the thing. If you, Jim, were to employ a receptionist to work on your radio show, and you were to put that receptionist on a salary, and then you were to put that person in front of a telephone, and the telephone rang, what would be your reasonable expectation of that person's behavior?
Yeah, you'd want them to answer the phone.
You'd expect them to answer the phone.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
What if you hadn't offered them a financial incentive over and above their salary? Would you still expect them to answer the phone?
Well, but you might be able to set some goals for them to accomplish maybe something above and beyond just answering the phone. Compensate them for that. I'm a little worried. Let me tell you, I like the order of what you're talking about, but I'm a little concerned about the lack of entrepreneurship. It seems to be. Well, we're going to have to come back and talk about this another day. What I want to ask you now is, give us your website. Tell us how we can find you.
Well, the best site to visit, you can visit ballistics.com, but you know what, the best site to visit is my blog, which is salesprocessengineering.net.
Salesprocessengineering.net, or also ballistics.
We have a white paper on sales process engineering that readers maybe should download if they're interested.
Thank you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.